Well, we're in a series called It's About Time. And let's just dive right in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. This is from the English Standard Version. And it says, look carefully then how you walk. Now that word walk there means how you live. Some other translations would render this in this way. Walk circumspectly. And that means to watch cautiously on all sides. It's not paranoia, it's not fear, it's just care and concern. It's like you would drive in a crowded or back up in a crowded parking lot or something. It's you're just watching cautiously on all sides. And we have to do that for a number of reasons. Let's continue on. Look carefully then how you walk or live, not as unwise, but as wise. Help me on this next part. Making the best use of the time. Now, this is a preventative statement here and command. It is making the best use of the time. Why? Because, help me, the days are evil. And so it's preventative in this way. The days are evil. There's going to be broken stuff and wrong stuff and all of that. What do you and I do about that? Well, to minimize that, days of evil, we are to make sure that we are making the best use of the time. And that's the call of Scripture to us. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let me review a couple things on time real quick. Time is the dimension that we live in. It is a period between two eternities. God is in eternity. There are people now that are in eternity. God is timeless. And this, we can't even conceive of this because we were born in time, we live in time, but there is eternity past that is timeless. And God, who had no beginning, dwells in that time, created in his wisdom a period of time. And that's where we live, in the beginning, God. That was the beginning of time. And we live in this period of time between two eternities. There is coming a time when there will be no more time. And so when time is up, guess what? There will be eternity. And what we have to do is make sure that we get squared away on where are you going to spend your eternity, because you will. And our spirit part of us is an eternal part of us. That part will live on forever. Our bodies will eventually shut down. They will die. They will stop. They will return back to dust and ashes. But we, the real us, will live on either in a heaven or a hell. It's a period between two eternities. We're living in time, and that's why Scripture tells us make the best use of this time. Time is a gift from God, and like a good gift, it is also a responsibility. And so it's not just, you know, have y'all ever at a birthday party or something, somebody just gave you some cheap junk? Like they forgot it was your party and they stopped at Wawa and got you a 2 liter of Mountain Dew or something, you know. And you think, oh, wow, that's great. I don't even like Mountain Dew, you know. But no, this is a real gift that God has given us, time. And every day he gives you some fresh time. Every day gives you fresh time. And then what do we do with this time? It's a responsibility. We have to steward it well. Again, going back to the Scripture, making the best use of the time. How many of you have ever wasted any time? Don't waste my time. Come on, it should be every hand in this place. All right. We've all wasted some time, and we've got to make the best use of our time. Time is life, and how you spend your time is how you spend your life. Look in Psalm 90, verse 12, in the New Living Translation. It's a prayer, and it says, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Some other translations say, teach us to number our days. Well, it's not just about numbering our days. It's about realizing the brevity of life. How many of you know that life is a vapor? I mean, how many of you know it is just going by? I was talking with a lady before first service, and on occasion I've told stories about my second grade teacher who was mean to me. And it was probably partially my fault. But she said, I had a second grade teacher that way too. We were kind of comparing stories. And as I'm talking to her, it seemed like it just happened. I mean, I can remember her voice. I can remember things she did. Sometimes she'd get mad at me and she would just hold my earlobe. And when our class would go to the cafeteria, the lunchroom, she'd walk holding my earlobe. You know, just marks you as, here's the problem right here, you know. And I could even almost smell her because she wore too much of whatever it was. But the good part of that was you could smell her coming, which also saved me some trouble. But my point is this, I'm no longer in second grade. It's been a while, y'all. Or as they say, it's been a minute since I was in second grade. But I can remember, and in life, the brevity of life, it's so brief, it's so fleeting, it's going by. And the psalmist is saying, teach us to realize the brevity of life, because then that adds even more precious value to the time that we have. And that we're to learn to live in wisdom, we're to learn to live with purpose, we're to learn to live in faith. We are not to live in fear and worry and just kind of counting the days. Now, as we live life, get this, it is loaded with stress, with pressure, with problems. Am I telling the truth today? And here's the thing, though. Life is loaded that way, but think about God. We've got pressure, we got problems, we got people problems, you got stress, you've got all that going on. Yet God, look what God does for us. He gives us his grace. Church, are you here? He gives us his grace. His grace is always enough. It's always enough. He gives us his mercy. Say mercy. Mercy. He gives us his mercy. It's new every morning, and his mercy endures forever. He gives us his peace. Everybody say peace. Peace. Peace that guards our hearts and guards our minds. He gives us favor. Say favor. Peace. Favor that surrounds us like a shield. He gives us his promises. Promises for every problem. He gives us wisdom. Wisdom for every situation. He gives us the Holy Spirit, who is present with us always to be our helper, our comforter, our guide, our strengthener, and all of that. And then he's given us everything we need for life and for godliness. Now let's catch back up. Life is hard. Life is stressful, and it's got all of these things loaded into it. Yet God is greater than that. And God gives us grace and mercy and peace and favor. You know the list. We just went through it. And he gives us all of that, yet we still come out drained and sad and dragging and mad and anxious and all of those things. What is the problem? Is God greater? And is what God gives us, is it greater than the problems and pressures of this world? Is it? Then why? Why do we end up coming out all worn out, dragging around, negative, anxious, sad, mad? You know what I think the problem is? Part of the problem is we are not following the instructions that God gave us on how to live and how to use our time. Did you hear all that? So what's the problem? Life's rough. God is good. God is greater. Yet we're still coming out behind somehow. I think part of the problem is we are not following God's instructions on how to live this life and how to spend our time. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. That's what that was. That was an amen. So let me try to illustrate a little bit here. There is a real thing called depression. And there are people that, you know, chemically or situational, clinically, a number of ways that people could actually be depressed. But our world right now, and can I caution you? Our world is just looking to embrace anxiety, embrace depression, embrace I'm so troubled, I'm, you know, life's so rough. And don't embrace it. Push that away. Don't embrace that. Resist that. If you need help, get help. Get help. I believe that all healing is from God, so get help. But here's where I'm headed. I do think that there are a whole lot of people that think they're depressed that aren't actually depressed. They're actually compressed. And what they need is to decompress. So let me try to illustrate it for you. You're all sitting in a chair. That chair has a cushion. And when you sat on it, that cushion got compressed. Some more than others. Did I say that? And it will stay that way. Follow this. It'll stay that way until you get the load off. And when you get the load off, it will start to decompress. And if you'll listen, when you get out of your chair, get down there real quick, it will go, and that's what it means to decompress and refresh. Now, I'm probably in a lot of trouble. But that's us. See, we're compressed. Why are we compressed? Because of the load that is on us. What do we do with that load? We're going to have to get out from under that load. But Pastor, that load is part of my life. It's part of my responsibility. Those things, I understand that. There is a load with all your responsibilities. But there are times that you have to get that load off of you. And God has given us a prescription for this that is curative, that is preventative, that is restorative. And here's God's prescription for this. You ready? It's called the Sabbath. The Sabbath. Bring that up if you will. The Sabbath. Come on, everybody say it. Sabbath. Sabbath is a Hebrew word that means to rest, to cease, to desist. The Bible tells us that you and I are to have a Sabbath. This is one of the Ten Commandments. And none of them have been canceled. Okay? They're still all in play. I have heard some contemporary pastors and so forth say, well, this one really doesn't matter. And I take full exception with that. Full exception. I don't think that it is the jot and tittle of the minutiae of rules and law, but there must be Sabbath in our lives. Now, it's a commandment. That's part of our problem because we don't like commandments. We don't like to be told what to do, command you to do that. We have to understand this about the commandments of God. The commandments of God express His love for us. The commandments of God tell us what gives us life and what takes life away. So if God tells you to do something, it's because it will bring life to you. If God says don't do something, it's because it will take life away from you. And so anything that God commands us is for our good. And Sabbath is for our good. Now, let's read about it here in Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. It says, remember to observe the what? The Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. And you say, well, that's for sure. And some of this I'm about to read you is cultural and for the time zone they were in. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, any foreigners living among you. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, He rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Exodus 31, verse 17 says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. So question, who made in 6 days, who made the heavens and the earth? God. Who then rested and was refreshed? You mean to tell me God needed to rest and be refreshed? Apparently so. Apparently so. What He poured out in that time, and He rested and was refreshed, which would be almost the same thing as the decompression. It's a refreshing that came to Him because He'd done the work, then He rested. There are some that believe, some theologians that believe that it says, for in 6 days He made. That word in is not in the Old Testament Hebrew. And there's suggestion that it's for 6 days He made the earth, heavens and the earth. In other words, He made it to last for 6 days, and then it needs a rest. And so for us, I believe that we're made to last for 6 days, and then we need a rest. How many of you charge your phone at night or whenever? How many of your phone's dead right now because you did not Sabbath your phone? Okay. And so we're made for this. We only have so much capacity. And it is said this, we don't keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath keeps us. And this is a very, very important aspect that we have in our lives. Now, here's the pattern. The pattern is 6 days on, and our culture is a little different with this now. 6 days on, or you work 6 days, and then you're off a day. Now, we have a five-day work week typically for people. Now, some people do shifts, you know, in law enforcement, medical work, factory work, different distribution centers even, things like that, where it's not all cut and dried like this. The important thing is, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, is that somehow, sometime, you get a Sabbath. And we'll come back to that in a moment. But 6 days on that you work, you do what needs to be done, and then one day off that you rest. Now, during the 6 days, you also must rest. You must have intermittent times where you take a break. You do that during your work day. If you get the chance, take a nap on certain days, that you just ease off, that you take a break. It's vital for all of us. We're made for that. The two things that this passage told us to do regarding the Sabbath is, number one, to remember it. To remember it so you could observe it, okay? So you can remember it and not observe it, though. How many of you remember in school? Oh, yeah, I remember. I have a term paper due on Friday. You might remember it, but you didn't do anything about it, okay? And so what you got to do is remember it to do it, to observe it. The second thing, it says, keep it holy. Keep it holy. In other words, it means this, treat it different. So, are y'all with me? So we got 6 days. We work, we get things done, and then we have another day that you've got to treat it different. You've got to treat it different, and it's a Sabbath, and that's where we rest, we desist, we cease. The Amplified Bible says, withdrawn from common use and dedicated to God. Now, get this, and this will be on the screen for you. To observe Sabbath affects the whole person. To observe Sabbath affects the whole person. Your spirit, your soul, your body, your relationships, all the circles of your life. We'll get the other part of this too. To ignore the Sabbath affects the whole person. Spirit, soul, body, relationships, circles, realms of life. Again, it matters. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus taught, it's in two of the other gospels too, he taught a parable referred to as the parable of the sower. I prefer to call it the parable of the soils, because the sower goes out to sow the word or to plant the word, the seed, and the focus, the variable, is on the soils. And so there are four kinds of soils, as Jesus explains it to his disciples. Four types of soil. Everybody say soil. There's soil that is shallow and rocky. There is soil that has weeds and thorns. There is soil that is hard and compacted. And there's soil that is good. As he explained the parable, he said, now, the seed that's being sown or planted is the word of God. And he said, the soil is the heart. And so you and I can have different, quote, heart conditions, where it's shallow and stony, or it's got weeds and thorns, or it's hard and compacted. And you know what? The word of God's not going to have much effect there. The seed's not going to be able to get in there and do much. But it's the good soil. And here's part of the point of it all. We've got to make time and take time for the soil to rest, for the soil to Sabbath, to give our hearts a break. Now, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, for 490 years, get this, they ignored God's command regarding letting the land rest, back to the idea of soil, for 490 years. So he said, you're to rotate the crops so that there's always some land that gets to rest. And you actually owe that time to the soil. So they didn't rest the soil. They didn't Sabbath the soil so much, and they went into captivity. And they went into captivity, you ready for this? For 70 years. Remember how many years they ignored the command? 490. One-seventh of that? 70. That's the amount of time that was due to the land. It's called forced Sabbath. Forced Sabbath. Have you ever had a forced Sabbath? I believe I have. And it's where I'm taking care of business, I'm doing life, I'm getting it all done, and then you're sick. Now, I'm not saying every time you get sick it would be that, or you end up in the hospital, or you're traveling and something it does not work out, you just can't get there. Or what you're doing stops being so fruitful, or so it loses some of the ease to it. I think some of those things can happen. A forced Sabbath. Look in Leviticus 26, verse 34. It says, then at last the land, this is when they'll come out of when they go into captivity, then at last the land will enjoy its neglected Sabbath years as it lies desolate while you are in exile in the land of your enemies. Then the land will finally rest and enjoy the Sabbaths it missed. Now listen to me, this is a supernatural thing. And I'll probably say this again. It doesn't make any sense that if I've got a whole bunch to do, I'm going to carve out a day to not do anything. That doesn't make sense. Or I got to make money, or I can make some money and take a day off and not do that. Well, that doesn't make sense. But I'm telling you what, it's a command of God. And it is one of the things that I classify as one of the triggers of the supernatural. That if you'll just do what God says, God's going to do something that wouldn't have happened otherwise. That you would just trust him in that. And we've got to make sure that we're not setting ourselves up by ignoring Sabbath in our lives and end up with a forced Sabbath. In 2 years, God bless you. It's my dad. No, it's not. My dad's in heaven. Dad, what are you doing here? I'm sorry. For about 4 years, finishing out high school and then going to community college in Leesburg, I worked at a gas station. And this was back in the days of full service. I had a uniform. I worked at a place called Bailey's Shell. Had the Shell patch on there. Had my name on a patch, cursive. Little red letters, Tim, right there. I loved that uniform. I had a little retractable key thing. I wish I had that thing. And tire gauge, grease rag, special shoes, hat. This was good stuff, y'all. And full service, some of y'all don't know what that is. You pull in there and you run over this hose and ding, ding, and we'd show up. And put the gas in for you, clean your windshield, check the air in the tires, check your oil, check all your fluids, check your belts. We got you covered. It was fast, efficient, and thorough, and friendly. And there was a guy who would come in, and he was a business guy, and he was making it happen, y'all. And I'll just call him Mr. C, because we do have some people in the church family that have his same last name, and I don't have permission. But I'll just call him Mr. C. And he'd pull in, and y'all ready for this? This was in the late 70s, okay? And it was a Lincoln Continental Mark VI. I mean, this was like, it was like from me to this wall over there. I loved that car. It's like, oh, here he comes, Mr. C, here he comes. And he was always on the go. Every time we'd do anything in that car, it was hot. Because he's just on the road all the time. He was going from Leesburg to Miami and back. And Leesburg to Jacksonville and back. Miami and Jacksonville. And he's coming in. He always had a big wad of money and dressed nice and always in a hurry and everything else. Super friendly and all. And I'd check his oil. And I go, Mr. C, you're down a quart and this oil is black as can be. I just put another quart in there. And then I checked the air in his tires. He'd always have me do that too. And I said, you really need to rotate these tires. Ah, it's all right. Just make sure you got enough air. Because I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. And he's going, 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 going. My point is, and he'd come in sometimes and check the oil and it's low. And it's not only low, it's getting like thick and gritty. And Mr. C, and we tell him over and over. And then finally, you know, he just kept going, kept going, kept going. He would not Sabbath that Lincoln Continental. And one day he called us from the turnpike over near Claremont and said, my car engine just blew and my front right tire just blew. Do you know what that's called? Forced Sabbath. It's a forced Sabbath. And there are many times that my boss would say, hey, just pull it right on in here. It won't take us long at all. We can change that oil. We can rotate those tires. And you know, I'm making the same appeal to you guys. You got to get your oil changed. You got to rotate your tire. You got to give it a break and get the load off. Otherwise, we end up with a forced Sabbath. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
God provides for those who observe Sabbath. And I know I've said this already, but I believe the Sabbath is one of the triggers of the supernatural. But God provides for those who observe the Sabbath. In Exodus 16, we see that God provided manna. Do you remember that? And if you'll remember his instructions regarding manna, he said it's for 6 days. You gather 6 days. You don't gather on the seventh. God provides for those who observe the Sabbath. Let me just point to some businesses, okay, that observe the Sabbath. And God is providing for them. You ready? Chick-fil-A. Have you ever seen one not busy? And do you know the money that they can make? I read 2 years or so ago a report on how much money they would make if they were open on Sunday. And that's not their point. They would rather have the blessing of God. How about this? Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby closed too. Have you ever seen a Hobby Lobby not busy? I mean, oh, and by the way, Hobby Lobby, 40% off. Just keep it posted. Every day. But here's the thing. You would say, but I can make more money. I can make money if I don't take that day off. Here, and probably so. But here's my question. But is it blessed? I mean, I'd rather have it blessed. I'd rather have God helping me than me just doing something on my own outside of what God has said. Or what about, but I've got so much to do. It doesn't make sense to me to not work, to take time away from doing that when I've got so much to do. Look at me, you're always going to have so much to do. If you don't have too much to do, you're not paying attention right. There's always going to be stuff to do. The rabbis, Jewish rabbis, in some commentaries, rabbinic commentaries, said this. They classify this over Sabbath that there is both actions and attitudes. Actions and attitudes. Watch this, and this has to do with the attitude, the frame of mind. How you think about, I take Sabbath, but I have a bunch to do. Here it is. One should feel that all their work is finished, even though their desk or workbench is still piled high. So even though there's plenty to do, you need to have the mindset that I'm going to feel as if this is all done. And you know what that is? That's trusting God. That's obeying God and trusting God. You said to do this. And I see this stack. I see this load that I have. But for me to step apart to do this, I'm going to trust you. The Bible said, accomplish all your work in 6 days. Rarely can that be done. No matter what is still left to be done, you're to try to feel as if it's all completely done. There will always be more work that needs to be done, but always make sure that the Sabbath is observed. The Sabbath is blessed, and it sets apart the other days of the week, and it helps to bring blessing on the other days. Remember, you're to withdraw from common use and leave it dedicated to God. That this day is set apart from the others for rest, for study, for worship, for refreshing. And it's a life principle. It's not necessarily, and get this, it's not necessarily a specific day. Now, as us New Testament Christians, since the resurrection of Jesus, the Sabbath is typically observed on a Sunday. You are right now participating in Sabbath. One of the things you're to do is don't treat this like any other day. So you step aside, you go to the house of the Lord, you worship, You learn, you rest. I don't know what you have planned for the rest of your day, but make it a Sabbath. And that doesn't mean that you just sleep all day, okay? Naps are good, though. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But you set apart that day. Some people, as I mentioned earlier, law enforcement, medical, factory, distribution center, ministry, Sunday's not going to work to be a Sabbath. Tomorrow will be my Sabbath. Here's the thing. Don't get so locked in and so rigid on things that it has to be this. Here's the thing. You have to have one. That's the point that you make. And sometimes your work, your life, things going on in life won't permit it. Make sure that you get one as soon as you can then. Just make sure that you have a Sabbath. Now, in closing, Sabbath reminds us that it's not our work that supplies our needs. It's our connection with the provider, the blessing of God on our lives. The blessing and the provision of the rest of your week is tied to you observing Sabbath. It's a matter of obedience. It's a matter of trusting God. It's not just a day off. It's dedicated to the Lord. It's mindful of the Lord. It's treating that day different. And this should be part of your language every day. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I trust you. But I think you need to repeat that more and more often on a Sabbath day, that Lord, I thank you. And Lord, I trust you. Make that a part of it. Sabbath is not a rigid adherence to rules. The purpose of Sabbath is restoration. And Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the author. He's the source of true rest. And again, Christianity is not a religion of rules. Christianity is a relationship with the Lord of the Sabbath. And he's the one who keeps us going. Remember, we don't keep Sabbath. Sabbath keeps us. And it's a supernatural thing because you can't really, you know, you can tell the world, great, I'd love a day off. It's not just a day off. You treat it entirely different. And you let God have the honor. You obey him. You trust him in this. Sabbath is not just the absence of work or hurry. It's the presence. And don't miss this. Sabbath is the presence of that which refreshes you, fills you, decompresses you. It starts with the one who can heal you, make you whole, and refresh you. But it also includes, don't miss this, it also includes, what are the things that refresh you? What are the God-approved activities or things that you could add to your life that actually refuel you, that refresh you? Don't ask me, I don't want to micromanage you. But you'll know what those are. So that you set apart that one day so that God, I'm honoring you, and let him refresh you and add some things into your life that are going to help to refresh you and decompress you. We don't keep the Sabbath. Sabbath keeps us. The Sabbath is supernatural. Add it to your life. See what God will do. It is a huge step of obedience. It is a huge step of trust. But as you do it, you watch. Watch what God will do. Amen. Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? I pray so.